Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio, WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. Chances are that even if you've never attended a local pro wrestling meet, an idea of what one looks like probably comes to mind. You might imagine a tightly packed room in a small arena or a community center. You might think of the sounds or even the smells that inhabit the space. Sweat, beer, and hot dogs.
Writers Rich Revito and Tom Conroy revisited local pro wrestling's past in Milwaukee and compare it to the state of the spectacle today in an article in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. They join us to share some insights. Welcome to you both.
Great to be here, Mitch.
Thanks for having us.
So if you're telling the story of wrestling's past and present in the Milwaukee area, let's start with what names we need to know.
If you're talking about currently, there are a number of smaller professional wrestling promotions. And I would say that Frankie DeFalco is kind of the maybe kinder, gentler version of what Vince McMahon is to the WWE. Frankie is a former professional wrestler himself, spent 3 decades in the ring, wrestled when WWE was the World Wrestling Federation before they had a name change. He is a native of the Milwaukee area, and he's been running Bruce City Wrestling since 2004. They do monthly, for the most part, monthly shows at the Knights of Columbus Hall in West Allis, but they also do stuff at Summerfest, some street festivals. They've done fundraisers in Waukesha and other parts of southeastern Wisconsin.
There's also a big annual wrestling bout in Waukesha as well, right?
Yes, that's a promotion that was started by David Hero, who's another Milwaukee native. He started it as a kind of a tribute to legendary local wrestler The Crusher. It was supposed to be a one-time thing. It was so popular they drew almost 2,000 fans to the Waukesha Expo Center that David's been involved in this now for quite some time. It's called the Blizzard Brawl. It was originally called Season's Beatings.
I was actually at that show this year.
You were?
I went. It was quite the spectacle.
I bet it was. Well, and so you mentioned The Crusher, and let me ask, you know, from a historical standpoint, how important was The Crusher in the history of wrestling in Milwaukee as it is written?
Well, if The Crusher was here today, he would tell you that he was the man that made Milwaukee famous. So The Crusher, or by his real name, Reggie Lisowski, was sort of the biggest star, not only in Milwaukee, but also one of the biggest stars as far as in the territorial days of wrestling, when the whole country was kind of just different organizations were based on the different regional areas. So in the Midwest, that was the American Wrestling Association, or AWA. He was one of the bigger stars in that. I mean, everything about him, his whole character just embodied professional wrestling. He came to the ring. They'd play the beer barrel polka. He'd have a keg in one hand. He'd have chomping on a cigar. He'd spoken this to, you know, his just raspy Milwaukee accent. He'd, you know, beat up dem sissies and, you know, bring his, you know, go dancing with his beer maids afterwards. Everybody I talked to who met him or grew up watching him, they all just said that there was something about him. He just loved Milwaukee and he loved wrestling. And for him to be able to combine that in his persona, in his career, meant the world to him.
Well, and when was wrestling's heyday here, would you say?
Well, you know, I got here, I attended Marquette University, and I got here in the mid-1980s, and the second night I was here in Milwaukee, there was a huge AWA event at the Mecca, and you know, you were filling big arenas back then with wrestling. So I think, you know, kind of that's when the regional wrestling promotions were kind of merging into the WWF and all that. So I would say, you know, it's kind of gone along with the popularity of high level professional wrestling, but I would say in the 80s and 90s was probably the biggest time for wrestling here.
Well, and so these events were going on in at, you know, Mecca, which is of course today the UWM Panther Arena. Mm-hmm. It's a much smaller kind of venue when you start talking about the Knights of Columbus Hall in West Allis. What does wrestling look like and feel like in Milwaukee today?
It's quite the spectacle. Male-dominated, of course, but during my visits around watching these events over the last year or so, there are a lot of children, and there are women that come to these events as well. But it's at Frankie DeFalco's Bruce City Wrestling, it's loud music, you know, there's scantily clad women walking around selling raffle tickets. There's vendors selling figurines of professional wrestlers, but it's primarily men of all ages, and they're very, very animated at these events. I think there are a lot of folks that still truly believe this is real. You'll get arguments from Frankie and others. They like to use the term scripted as opposed to fake, and they will argue that the moves are difficult, they're challenging, and there are a number of injuries that are
suffered. Right, the injuries are very real. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Frankie himself, he's had his hip replaced. He doesn't get around all that. Yeah, he's not completely hobbled by any means, but he's, you know, you can tell that the wear and tear of 3 decades in the ring. He's got a bad back, a bad Achilles tendon, and a hip replacement. Yeah, I talked to another wrestler named Matt Winchester who's had, he's blown out his ACL. He tapes himself up before every match. He kind of looks like a mummy.
Do you get the sense, I mean, and the two of you kind of divided the labor on this story between the present and past of wrestling in the Milwaukee area. Do you get the sense, does it fill a similar niche in terms of the, you know, the world of Milwaukee entertainment that it did, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s?
I think there's still that the good versus evil. It's an escape. Several of the promoters I talked to talked about this as being an escapism. It's a way to get away from your day-to-day life. It's good versus evil, and you don't always root for good. Sometimes at these matches, you're rooting for evil. And I think as the WWE became so huge and the characters became so, you know, they're these steroid-looking type guys. The local scene is still filled with, like, characters. Some of these guys are not necessarily in the greatest shape, physical condition, and it seems to be filling that niche that was there 20-some years ago before the WWE got so huge.
And there's such a difference in experience between going to a WWE show, whether it be at the Bradley Center. I mean, I've seen shows there. I've seen shows at Madison Square Garden where they're just sellout crowds. You know, it's this huge spectacle. And that's such a contrast to the almost intimate setting of like the VFW Hall in West Dallas, mm-hmm. where there's 100 people there, mm-hmm. and they're right there in front of you. And you really see up close, and we talk about, oh, is it fake? Is it really doing it? And you really see when you're watching it that close just how physical it can be. You know, they're showmen, and you see their facial expressions. They're screaming things at each other. They're screaming at the audience. The audience screams back. It's this interactive experience that is one thing that, as you know, both as a wrestling fan and also just as somebody who enjoys that kind of entertainment, you can see that, and then you can see, you know, a WWE show live. And it's totally different things, but they're both, you know, so fun and entertaining in their own ways.
You made an interesting point, Rich, in the article that that local wrestling has stayed healthy, or interest in it has stayed healthy at a time when other kind of traditional local entertainment, bowling, for example, mm-hmm. has had more difficulty. And you've written about bowling as well.
Yeah, it's inexpensive to go to these shows. There's a great deal of accessibility too. The wrestlers interact with the fans at intermission, before and after the events.
How much should people pay to get into one of these?
Anywhere from $10 to some of the lower level stuff to Frankie's, I think, are about $17-$18, and these are smaller venues. I think the capacity at the Knights of Columbus Hall is around 200. They've crammed more than that in there for some events, but
probably not paying a lot of fees on those tickets the way you do for a Brewers game.
Definitely not. And they serve beer and they do other stuff. There's food, and it's an inexpensive night out. I have friends that take their kids all the time to this, and it's there's some humor involved in all of this too. It's good, clean fun.
You said, Tom, you were at the event in Waukesha mm-hmm. this year. What was that like?
So I think the big difference, because I was able to talk both to Frankie and then also to David Hero, who, you know, puts on the annual Blizzard Brawl. They have sort of different approaches as far as their shows. Frankie usually promotes his own wrestlers, like people in the area, people that he's trained, and then, you know, occasionally he'll bring in a sort of relatively known person. David Hero has a little bit of a different approach. While there will be some local talent, a lot of it is guys who, I don't necessarily want to call them washed up, but there are guys who are, you know, who are
past their prime.
Past their prime, but any wrestling fan would be like, oh, wow, there's Tommy Dreamer. There's the Sandman. Like, mm-hmm. there's people that...
It's almost like going to Comic-Con.
Kind of, yeah. And so there's something kind of fun and nostalgic about seeing these guys, but at the same time, you sort of feel bad that it's like, oh, they really shouldn't be, like, enduring this kind of physical toll on their bodies after, you know, 25, 30 years in the ring. But yeah, there was different things. He brought in some, I guess, from the independent wrestling scene. These are sort of guys in their prime who aren't necessarily competing for WWE. They're sort of smaller promotions.
Free agents, if you will.
Kind of, yeah. So they bring in guys like that, and they're younger talent. They're more athletic. And you really see, like, wow, they really put on a great, great match. And then you kind of have the matches where it's guys that are kind of older, can't really do as much. They spent a great deal of time putting together this very rusty looking steel cage for the finale, which David Hero and his business partner Damian Nelson actually got in the ring. I can't say that was the most exciting thing in the world, but it's definitely something to see. A steel cage, especially when I was sitting in the second row.
Well, and so speaking of steel cage, how does wrestling fare up against, you know, the popularity these days of UFC?
I still think it's a different animal still. I think the entertainment level, you get so involved with the characters at these local wrestling events, and a lot of times it's the same guys coming back month to month. You know, you become...
It's like a story arc.
Yeah, absolutely. Where I think with UFC, that's more big-time national. I put UFC on the same level as, like, it has more of a connection to boxing, I think, than it does to the fans of professional wrestling.
The other difference I noted as I read this article is, you know, there was a time that these local kinds of bouts were also televised locally, mm-hmm. and that is not the case anymore.
No, it's not. One thing to note, though, the Pro Wrestling Report is it's a show that's emanated from Milwaukee since the late 90s. It is the longest running professional wrestling television show in the country, and it's David Hero and Damian Nelson are the co-hosts of that show as well. And they talk mostly high-level professional wrestling, but it's yet another connection that Milwaukee has to the professional wrestling scene.
But at some level, it feels like the local scene is really kind of wrestling fans at their grassroots.
You have to be there to see this action. Yeah, you're not going to see it anywhere else. And I think that's also what drags people out to these events. It's the dead of winter in Wisconsin. You've got nothing else to do on a Friday or Saturday night. You can go and have some fun for a couple hours watching these guys throw down in the ring.
But back in the day, those AWA shows, I mean, it started on the Dumont Television Network mm-hmm. back in the 50s. And I believe right up until the 80s, which was sort of the last kind of big heyday for the AWA, I'm pretty sure they were being aired on ESPN.
Yeah.
Like, so there was a big market for that, even on stuff, even in the 80s when WWF was kind of blowing up nationally. There still was sort of a strong television presence for these regional territories.
The two of you have favorite wrestlers?
Over the years,
putting you on the spot there.
I actually like locally. I like. I do enjoy watching Matt Winchester. He wrestles as the Beer City Bruiser, and he's from Waukesha. He's part of the Ring of Honor wrestling too, which is a little bit bigger kind of national organization. But he's always serenaded with chants of beer, beer, beer every time he wrestles, and he's. He's missing his front teeth after getting hit in the face with a steel chair a few years back, and says he doesn't want to get him repaired because he doesn't think his wife and his kid would recognize him anymore. So he's kind of your old school wrestler. He's fun to watch.
And Tom,
I was just thinking about talking to Winchester. You know, this huge, kind of intimidating guy with his teeth missing. Couldn't have been a sweeter guy to talk to, though, which is so funny. I mean, as far as just like, you know, just guys I grew up watching. I mean, I was such a huge. I'm still the biggest fan of The Rock. I mean, The Rock. He's beyond wrestling now. He was just such an incredible entertainer. But I guess it's just on a smaller level. There was a guy, Eddie Guerrero, when I was 11 years old, was like my hero. Sadly, he passed away in 2005, which is kind of the life and death of professional wrestling. It's a heroic tale, but it also can be a tragic tale at times.
Well, an entertaining tale as chronicled by the two of you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Rich Rovito and Tom Conroy wrote Brotherhood of Bruisers for Milwaukee Magazine, and it's in the current issue.